Blog Talk Radio.
Who is January Jones? She is not a young, beautiful, talented actress on Mad Men. She is not an older, gorgeous, exotic dancer from the Johnny Carson Show. She is an author, and she wrote Thou Shall Not Wine, the 11th Commandment, that reached number one at Amazon.com. She is a reality TV golf personality with World High Stakes Golf televised on HDNet. She is a humorist and winologist expert. She is your featured host today on January Jones Sharing Success Stories. So sit back, relax, and get ready to laugh and listen to Ms. Jones with her eclectic roster of guests as you learn life's lessons. These stories plus sharing equals success. Welcome, and remember, beware, because you are entering the no whining world of January Jones.
Now, here's a question for my listeners. What is the first thing you say in the morning to your husband or wife? Tell me. Can you imagine what it would be like to say the first thing to your husband or wife, did you feed the dog? Well, we've been married 45 years, and guess what? That's what we say to each other each morning. Have you ever wanted to know why it is so important to have pets in your life? Now, would you like to learn what happens when your dog becomes obese? Tell me, have you ever heard of a product called Did You Feed the Dog? Now would you like to meet someone who has some of the answers we're looking for today? Now are you ready to learn how to be successful and how to take better care of your dog? If you can answer yes or maybe to any of these questions, then you are in the right place. And I'd like to welcome you to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Today, I'll be introducing you to my guest. This is the first time he has been on the show. And he has a wonderful product that he was going to share with us, with wonderful information, inspiration, and some really, really great advice about feeding your dog. I am pleased to announce that this show is now live on Talk 4 Media and is syndicated on 6 networks with over 5 million listeners to date. We are archived 24/7 for your listening pleasure. So now it's time for you to sit back and relax as you enter the no wine zone. Pour yourself a glass of wine, get some cheese and crackers, and enjoy our show. Now let me tell you a little bit about our guest today. He is a 25-year veteran of the franchising industry, having worked in senior leadership roles for 3 nationally recognized franchise systems. He has held roles in finance, marketing, business development, and operations. He received his Bachelor's of Business Administration from Stephen F. Austin State University in Texas and his Master's of Business Administration from California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks, California. It is my pleasure to welcome to the show today Jim Foley. Hi, Jim. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, January. Thanks for having me here today.
Oh, I'm so excited because, you know, my husband and I, we lived in Westlake Village for over 40 years. And at that time in our life, we owned the Thousand Oaks Racquet Club. So Thousand Oaks is, we still have so many family and friends there. It's a wonderful place to live in California, isn't it?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's so close to the coast and everything else you'd want out there. We've since moved up to Northern California, so we're up in Marin County now,
okay.
Which isn't so bad itself. It's quite nice, but the whole state, I'm a fan of the whole state.
Oh, yeah. Now, share with us where your success story began, Jim. Where were you born and raised? Share a little bit about your childhood and early mentors.
Sure. I'm one of 4 children. I was born and raised in Pittsburgh. I'm the third, so I have an older brother and older sister ahead of me.
Uh-huh.
We were raised in the South Hills of Pittsburgh in a little town called Mount Lebanon. Loving family. Mom and dad are still together. God bless them. Mm-hmm. We all went through college. A couple of us have master's degrees, and I think we've been very fortunate in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that I've always done, you know, from high school, I think I got my first work permit at the age of 14.
Okay.
I've been working, I think, nonstop ever since. So
wow.
I'd always be looking for a job, and my first job was in a hardware store, and I learned all about stocking and pricing and returns and customer service and running the register.
Yeah.
And yeah, I love that.
Uh-huh.
And then in college, I had the pleasure of working for the gentleman that owned one of the college bookstores in town. And that small business mentality and small business education continued. I often said that I learned more going to work every day, you know, going through college than I did going to the classroom. So I've had some great small business mentors through the years, and that continued on when I started with PIP Printing in the late 80s.
Uh-huh.
I was lucky enough to start up a friendship with the founder of PIP Printing, which was one of the printing franchises back then, and through the years, he was a fantastic mentor.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, you know, you sound like I grew up in the Midwest, too, and my first job actually was at Sears Roebuck, and I worked in customer service, and I agree totally with what you said earlier. You learn so much when you're out there dealing with people on a day-to-day business. It's almost more than you can even learn in a formal setting, isn't it?
Well, I believe that. There's no teacher like experience.
Yeah. And customer service is such a big thing. Now, okay, so you were raised in Pittsburgh. So then where did you go to college?
I went to school down in Texas. My father worked for Gulf Oil at the time. So we, during the oil bust, moved down to Houston, and I enrolled in Stephen F. Austin State University, which is about 3 hours north of Houston. It's an accredited business school. And when I finished there, I moved to Dallas, and that's where I met my wife, Jody. And we lived in Dallas for about 2 years and then got transferred out to the area you mentioned earlier, you know, Westlake and Thousand Oaks. So we were there for about 10 years.
Uh-huh. Now, and I'm looking at your bio here, and how do you pronounce that? Nacogdoches, Texas? Am I saying it wrong?
yes, horribly. It's pronounced Nacogdoches, and it goes back to an old Indian myth that there was a chief that had two sons, one named Nacogdoches and one named Nacogdoches, and he sent one east and one west, and that's where they started their towns. So there's a Nacogdoches, Texas, and there's a Nacogdoches, Louisiana. So that's the story on that one.
So you were in Texas, and then you moved out to California, the promised land, and that's the way I felt about California when I got there in, 1966. So at that point in time, it was just an unbelievable world, especially for people like you and I who come from the Midwest. Wasn't it an amazing experience to experience California in those years?
Oh, fantastic. And it still is. I mean, the state has so much to offer. Where we live now, we can hit the beach, we can go to the mountains, we can go to the wine country, we can go to Yosemite, we can go to the world-class city of San Francisco. There's nothing that you could want that is not in this state. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Now, share a little bit with us about how you got into, before we talk about Did You Feed the Dog, let's share a little bit about how you got into franchising. What were your first experiences with franchising?
I got into it because it was the first job that was offered to me after college.
There you go.
I needed to pay some bills, so I jumped in feet first, and my job at that time was to go around and visit PIP Printing. PIP at that time had 1,300 franchises across the United States, and it was my job to get on a plane and go visit them and consult with them and help them grow their businesses. So I was sort of a small business consultant from day one, pushed out there to help printers run their small businesses, and I was traveling probably about 65-70% of the time.
Oh, wow.
But it was, again, there's no teacher like experience. So it was great on the ground knowledge and practice. And from there, I just sort of tended to stay in franchising because it's something I seem to be good at. I've owned a couple of franchises myself, and it's a fun place to play. It's a big sandbox.
Okay. And so then you went on to California Closets. And how long were you with them?
I was with California Closets for 10 years, 5 years on the corporate side, and then 5 years in partnership running one of the larger franchises. So I went basically from the frying pan into the fire. learned both sides. But it's two totally different worlds, by the way.
I can imagine.
Being a franchisor and being a franchisee. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, which do you prefer?
I sleep better when I'm on the franchisor side, but the financial rewards seem to be a little bit better on the franchisee side. So you gotta weigh the pros and cons of each.
Okay. So how long were you with PIP?
About 7 years in total.
7 years. Okay. So then you were 10 years with California Closets, which we've all heard and we've all used. How about then you went on to Vanguard Cleaning Systems. What did they do?
I'm still with Vanguard Cleaning Systems, we're a franchisor of commercial cleaning services. So it's not a brand that most people know. It's supposed to work that way. When you leave your office building, companies like ours come in and clean your offices. You know, empty the trash and vacuum and dust. And you don't normally see those businesses, but they're always quietly at work. And that's one of the companies I'm working with now.
Okay. So this is a very interesting career arc that you've had. So then you taught in 2011 and 2012. You taught several marketing courses at San Francisco State University in your spare time. Did you enjoy teaching?
I loved it. It's at the end of every semester, there seemed to be about three or four students that you could tell you reached. And when the grades were distributed and you'd get an email from them saying, thank you very much. And it was always along the same lines that I explained something to them that resonated with them or that they appreciated that. So that was the fuel that kept that going. It was a very rewarding experience.
Okay. And so then you did that at the San Francisco State University. So now we're going to take a break. And then when we come back, we're going to talk about how you became an inventor in early 2014 after you and your son became fatigued asking each other in the morning, did you feed the dog? And boy, this resonated with me because that's the first thing my husband and I say to each other each morning, did you feed the dog? We'll be right back with Jim Foley.
The Boy on Shady Grove Road explores a humble but adventurous childhood in rural Arkansas during the 1940s and 50s. Clyde McCulley's juvenile innocence and sense of wonder capture universal mysteries and dreams of childhood while coming to terms with family, friends, and faith in the segregated South. With wit and heartfelt gratitude, The Boy on Shady Grove Road ponders the most basic questions while celebrating the warmth of belonging, the joys of freedom, and the simple pleasures of life. Available on Amazon and StoryNightPress.com. Rachel Carson wrote, "Spring now comes unheralded by the return of the birds, and the early mornings are strangely silent where once they were filled with birdsong. Little did she know the movement she began would lead to the destruction she envisaged, announcing the release of John Graves' new book, Broken Wing, Birds, Blades, and Broken Promises. Today's wind turbines kill millions of birds, require backup power plants, are harmful or deadly to humans, have enormous costs. There are alternative wind turbine choices. The wealthiest benefit from wind. We pay higher prices. The story is conservation, the environment." Lately, there's a whining epidemic in our world. People are even whining about whining. Are you sick and tired of listening to everyone whining all the time? So was January Jones, the author of Thou Shall Not Whine, the 11th commandment that reached number one at Amazon.com. Ms. Jones based her book on a survey of the top 10 things that people whine about at all ages and all stages of life. January is a success coach that can tell you how to help others. When you buy Thou Shalt Not Whine, the 11th commandment, you'll find out what people whine about and how to stop them from whining. This is the perfect gift book to give or get for any occasion. Thou Shall Not Wine was voted the best gift to be given anonymously for those special people in your life. Ms. Jones is an internationally known author in the style of Irma Bombeck, specializing in housewife humor, with her book being published in Korea and China. You can find Thou Shall Not Wine at Amazon.com.
Welcome back to the No Wine Zone. We're visiting with my guest today, Jim Foley, who is based in California. And he is marketing a brand new item, and it's called Did You Feed the Dog? And it's that perfect solution to that important question we all ask each other every morning after we wake up. Now, tell us a little bit about your history. Is this the first product you've invented?
A few years ago, I took a stab at inventing an application, a software application, which I guess had some social network beginnings, but a guy named Mark Zuckerberg kind of beat me to the punch on that one. So I wasn't necessarily a software developer, and I think that was proven out. But this is my first true product that we've invented from scratch, and it's proving to be quite fun, you know, learning how to do it and go through the patenting process and the prototyping process and the manufacturing process. It's all new to me, so we're enjoying it. We're having a good time with it.
Okay, well, let's walk through this process, because I have never invented anything. So tell us what happens. The first thing you do is you have to get a patent for your product?
Well, I think the first thing that happened in our house was that we had a problem. It was that question of, you know, it's the old mother, or necessity is the mother of invention. It was one of those things where we really just got tired of asking ourselves every morning and every evening, you know, in a family of five, someone would be yelling through the house, "Did you feed the dog?" And it kind of got boiled down to me and my son, because we seemed to be the most connected with the animals, so therefore we'd be responsible. And then it became much more imperative when one of our dogs, our boxer, started requiring medication along with her food each morning and each evening. So we didn't want to miss any pills, and we didn't want to overdose any pills, and we didn't want to underfeed or overfeed. So it started with just sticking a label around the pill bottle, and, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday down the side, and we put a little check mark next to AM and PM and AM and PM. And then eventually, as you can imagine, the label, we ran out of label, and we put another label on. And then, so I think we were onto something there. It's like, well, here's a good way, simple, you know, no technology, very analog, you know, way of to do this. Is there some way we can make it more permanent? And I think it took us about 5 minutes to just kind of sketch something out. And then we passed it around to a couple people, and they said, yeah, we ask that question every single morning. So there seemed to be an immediate acceptance of the idea.
Okay, well, I can relate a little bit to this, because I have my pill box, you know, 7 days of pills, morning and evening, and I do that, but I've never thought about doing that with the dog. So you came up with this patent, so you got it patented. Is that the next step?
Well, we had to get some technical drawings, you know, some computer-aided designing drawings done, and then we used an attorney to submit that for a design patent. And that whole process took about a year from the time that you submit. And it's about 9 months to a year before the patent office actually gets through and approves it. So we just received our design patent about 2 weeks ago, which was kind of nice.
Okay, so now this actual device is attractive and will blend into your home easily. I have it up on my website. Describe a little bit what it was like to actually design it. Who did the actual design with the AM, PM, and all of that? That looks pretty neat.
Yeah, it was a family effort, and there was a desire to kind of make it look like a modern day cell phone. You know, it seems to be something that everybody's very handy and very, you know, comfortable and familiar with. So we designed it in the spirit of a phone, and if you look at the AM and PM switches, you know, where you're supposed to slide it left and slide it right each time you feed one of the dogs, it very much resembles the little switch that you'd use when you turn on and off your Wi-Fi on your phone. So we thought that was a nice iconic image.
Okay. Okay, the product dimensions are 4 3/8 by 6 5/8 with two mounting options included, two pieces of sticky foam tape and two pieces of sticky magnetic material. You can mount it on your washer, dryer, kitchen wall, or anywhere. And the price is $9.95. How did you come up with that price?
We tested it in some local stores here in Marin County. We went out and we tested 12 different stores, and each month we adjusted the price, half a dollar or a dollar one way or the other, and it seemed to sell the most at the $9.95 price. So that's where we stuck. We started at $14.95 and we sold some, but we sold more at $9.95. So I think we'll do better at that price.
Okay, so now when you have more than one dog, so you need to have two or three of these. Well, you have four animals. Do you have four of them now?
Well, the cats don't lie. You know, this is more advice that stops the dogs from lying, because the routine was, you know, if my son left for school, I'd look at the dogs and say, "Did Sam feed you?" And they'd give me that look like, "Oh, no, you know, there's no way he fed us." So the cats don't seem to have that tendency. So it was really to clamp down on the dogs. But we use the same device for the dogs because we feed them at the same time. They eat together. So we only need one device. It seems to work pretty well for us.
Okay, and I like the part where there's no batteries or training. It's pretty self-explanatory. And at the end of each week, you push the sliders to the left and you just start over. I think I could use one of these for my pills. Have you thought about doing this for humans?
We have. We've actually got a couple of suggestions. One is, you know, did you take your pills? And there was another one where a mother had a young kid suggested that she could place it on the mirror in her kids' bathrooms and it could say, "Did you brush your teeth?" Because that's, you know, we raised our kids. I think we ask that question every single night. You know, did you brush your teeth? So I think there's other applications for the product. And we're considering all of them, of course.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. You know, that's perfect. Because did you brush your teeth? Did you comb your hair? Did you make your bed?
I mean, did you kiss your wife? You know, if it's for Valentine's Day, I think that would work quite well. You know, kiss your wife twice a day, right?
Well, okay. So now, how has this impacted your family life with this invention that it sounds like you've all been involved with? How has that impacted the family?
Everyone's taking their turns, you know, taking boxes down to the post office as we, you know, box up and ship the product each night. And then we sit down just around dinner and talk about different ways to market it. So no one's really, you know, the kids are still involved in school and my wife still has her full-time job. But we're talking a lot more about it at the dinner table. And you know, I know it's taking up a little bit more of my time at night, but it seems to be a family effort and we're having a good time with it. Mm-hmm. So no complaints.
Yeah, and then we're also talking about obesity with animals. Now, this is a big problem because I know that if you just leave food out, dogs will just keep eating all day, won't they?
Most do. Yeah, there are some that free feed. You know, they can regulate themselves, but I think the majority of dogs that we know are gluttons. They'll eat themselves into a stupor.
Yeah, and for some reason, cats don't do that, do they?
Not our cats. No, they don't seem to. They can walk past the food bowl and think nothing of it. And a dog would stop and eat every last, you know, speck of dust in it. So the cats seem to regulate a little bit better.
And this seems a great way, to instill a responsibility with children in the home so that they can keep track and take responsibility for their pets. This is a brilliant idea. Are you marketing it in that respect for an aid to children?
We are. In the press release that we've been sending out, that's actually listed as the second most important point. The first one, as you mentioned earlier, you know, it helps reduce obesity because the dogs aren't being fed multiple times a day. And then it does, I think at a certain level, help instill a sense of responsibility and responsible pet ownership in the kids, because some of the mothers have reported that their kids actually get a sense of satisfaction. Like, I did this chore, and I was able to get a sense of satisfaction by sliding the slider. So, you know, I think that's a good thing. It teaches kids about responsible pet ownership and helps the parents manage the feeding schedule for the dogs. So it seems to be working on both fronts.
Yeah, and you know, and I think it's especially important when you're talking about medication, so that you don't miss medication or overdose for an animal, because that is such a critical thing. Okay, so now you have your sister Mary, and she indicated she had a connection for offshore production. So where is this device manufactured?
It is manufactured in China. It's very difficult to get something in the United States manufactured quickly and efficiently, and it's just a fact of life right now. It's So we shopped it in the U.S., but the savings, especially starting out and trying to get this thing rolling, we have the manufacturing done offshore over in China. Uh-huh. And my sister's friend, she has a best friend of 30 years. Her husband actually is a product and material sourcer for large chains like Target and Walmart. And when we started talking to him about this, he knew exactly where to go. And that's when the thing really started picking up the pace, because he knew how to get prototypes made. Over the course of about a year, we went through four prototypes, and his knowledge was instrumental in that. So it's nothing I would suggest people without that experience try to do on their own.
Wow.
You need to have somebody that's come through
that. This is fascinating, and I want to hear about, when we take our break and come back, I want to hear all about developing the prototypes, the process, how you go to China to get this done. This is a fascinating thing that so many people have heard about, but you actually have done it. So we're going to be back with Jim, and we're going to share how to manufacture a prototype and produce a product in China. We'll be right back.
January's co-host, Connie Cockrell, the author of Mystery at the Fair, has been writing since 2011 after a challenge from her daughter. An eclectic writer, she's written mysteries, sci-fi, fantasy, and even a thriller. She has been included in four different anthologies and published on the e-zine Everyday Fiction. Connie continues to write and entertain with whatever comes into her head. You can find her books on most ebook retail sites. Paperback editions are also available. Be sure to visit her at www.conniesrandomthoughts.com, on Facebook, and on Twitter at Connie Cockrell. The new book, God Reconsidered, Searching for the Truth in the Battle Between Atheism and Religion by Scott Smith, explains why both militant atheists and believers in traditional religions ignore inconvenient truths. Scott argues in favor of the insights of Gnostic Christianity. Check out www.godreconsidered.com to read a sample chapter. That's godreconsidered.com. With over 30 years as a registered nurse with empathic ability, Carolyn Green, a.k.a. The Energy Nurse, is bridging the gap between traditional and alternative medicine. Certified in the areas of energy medicine, life coaching, and as a medical intuitive, she brings to each client an integrative approach to body, mind, and spirit. Her book, found on Balboa Press and Amazon, Getting to Know You, Guided Pearls of Wisdom for a More Soulful Existence, is a channel journey for clearing the mind clutter to bring about healthier thought patterns. As a motivational speaker, Carolyn brings new light to old issues and is engaging, interactive, and enlightening. With her newly launched The Energy Nurse jewelry line, she brings to you stones and crystals that are not only beautiful to wear, but balancing and healing as well. To contact or learn more about Carolyn, go to www.theenergynurse.com.
Welcome back with my guest, Jim Foley, and he is the founder, inventor, and of a product called Did You Feed the Dog? Now, Jim, could you share with our listeners a little bit about your website, the price, and how they can order this?
Of course. They can go to www.didyoufeedthedog.co. It's not .com. We're having a problem carrying that name. So it's didyoufeedthedog.co, and that'll take you to our site. And it's currently the only product on there, so you can't get lost.
Okay.
the price for the product is $9.95, and a couple bucks for shipping and handling, and it'll get, be to your house in a couple of days if you want to buy it that way.
Okay, wonderful. Now, let's go. Let's back up about this doing manufacturing a product in China. This is a very interesting. Now, you had to do four prototypes. Who designed those prototypes? How did you get those made?
Those all started with the technical drawings that I was referring to earlier. They had to be sent over there. And the first time they did it with a CNC machine. So they basically took a block of plastic and kind of routed out the shape of it to sort of make it that way. We knew that we'd eventually get to injection molding, which is a much different process. But the first couple of prototypes, as I look back on them, were very Frankenstein in nature. They rattled. They made a lot of noise. They'd fall apart and explode kind of if they hit the floor. So they weren't really meant to operate. And I think at that point, if I hadn't had someone behind me saying, "No, this is normal. You got to go through a couple of these to make it work." I think if I didn't have someone like that behind me, I would have pulled the plug at that point, because it was a long, probably 4 to 6 weeks after you give in the authorization to make the prototype that you wait for it to show up. So you have high hopes, and then when you open it up and you're looking at this Frankenstein-like thing, your heart sinks. To have someone behind you saying, no, you got to go through a couple of these to really refine it. But it took us four iterations to get the working prototype, so it's not for the meek of heart.
Okay, I get that. Now, did you personally have to go to China? Did you actually get to meet the people you were working with? How does that play out? How does the process go?
I think some people do that. I was fortunate enough to have somebody that's already manufacturing stuff in China. So he's based in the United States. He speaks both languages quite well. He works all hours of the evening to make sure that he's on the same time zone. But I think the key thing that he has is he has four employees over there that are on his payroll that speak English and take direction from him. So they seem to be the people on the ground that really get things moving. They know which factories to go to, which people to go to, what the timelines are. They know how to deal with all the computer files. But if you tried to do it from here without having that connection over there, I think I think you'd be in trouble.
Okay, and then you're basically, it was your sister who had the connection that enabled you to move forward with this project, right?
Yes, my older sister, Mary. She's proved to be a great resource in this exercise.
Oh, yeah. I can't. Well, I have a son-in-law, and he does fiber optics business in China. He is now taking classes to speak Chinese, because it's so important when you go over there and try to do something that you're able to communicate. So you were lucky that they had employees who spoke the language. Now, okay, so your sister got this process going, and how long did it take from beginning to end?
From the time we placed the order for the first prototype to the time that we placed the first actual order for the product was 11 months, so almost a year.
Okay. Now, when you placed the actual order after you were finally happy after four prototypes, how many did you order? How did you know what you were dealing with? I mean, how did you know what to anticipate?
Well, that was part of the negotiations with the factory, because they have a minimum order that they want you to do after they spec out your product. So they'll come back and say, "We'll do this for you, but we have to order a minimum of X."
Okay.
And that number was 10,000, and so we placed the first order for 10,000. But if you think about it, if you think about how many U.S. homes have animals with more than one person, it's about 43 million households. So if we can't move the first 10,000 of these things, we've got bigger problems.
I know. And when you say 10,000, that blows my mind. But then when you put it in that perspective, 43 million, and a lot of these people are old farts like my husband and I, we can barely remember to wake up, let alone feed the dog. So, I think this would be a great product to market during the holidays to give to your parents and grandparents and older people who are trying to take care of their dogs. Share with us a little bit about your marketing plans and your sales strategy. Who handles that?
I'm doing that in my spare time for the most part. I've got 15 stores right now that are testing it in Northern California, so we want to continue to build sales data to share with people. That'll play into the marketing plan, then we can say what the sales trajectories are. And then we're using social networks. LinkedIn, I think, is where I found Dana Humphreys, who you mentioned earlier. She's my PR representative.
Good.
And a lot of good things have happened out of LinkedIn. So from there, we build a an email database, and we've got that up to about 1,000 names now. So we're using Constant Contact to regularly stay in touch with that audience. We'll be doing some print advertising in the Pet Product News magazine. And then bloggers, people that are pet bloggers. You know, we've been sending them samples, and they've been writing nice reviews for us and doing a couple of giveaways on their blogs and their networks. So it's a little bit of everything, just trying to see what sticks. So we're about 60 days into it.
Okay, well, you're just brand new at it. Now what about, you know, a thing I always think is interesting, because I get so many of them, are catalogs. Have you explored pet catalogs and marketing in catalogs that go out to families all over the country?
Yes, I'm looking actually at my dashboard right now, and we've connected with 67 people that work for pet catalog companies on LinkedIn. On a couple of those, we've sent in some evaluations. They have a process in each company how they evaluate new products, so we're trying to adhere to those protocols first. We're looking at product, you know, definitely catalog companies and retailers and influencers in the pet industry, all sorts of stuff.
Oh, for sure. Well, I'm going to put a pitch in, because my show, I have over 5 million listeners, and most of my listeners are like me, and they have dogs. So I'm going to try to pitch you to advertise on this show, because most of my listeners are people like me who can't remember to feed the dog.
It's a common question. It's a common problem,
I think. For sure. We're going to take a break and hear from some of our wonderful, wonderful advertisers. And then when we come back, we're going to get a feel from Jim about public reaction to his unique product and what's next, if he has any other new inventions for us. We'll be right back with Jim Foley.
Joining January Jones as her co-host on the show is Miles Miller, the great success creator. Miles is a 2-time best-selling author with books entitled Against the Grain and Successonomics. He continues to transform 100,000 people all over the world through his speaking and training. His uplifting and essential messages like Bulletproof, Time Machine, and Strength in Numbers are impacting every audience he meets. Together with January Jones, they'll explore how to be successful and what steps you can take to achieve the success you want. Visit successhq.net, leadup.biz, and learningbreaks.com. What is AATH? The Association for Applied and Therapeutic Humor is a nonprofit, member-driven international community of humor and laughter professionals and enthusiasts. AATH provides its members the education, cutting-edge resources, and supportive community they need to excel in the practice and promotion of healthy humor. AATH welcomes anyone who is interested in learning more about the application and benefits of therapeutic humor. Members include scholars, psychologists, counselors, nurses, social workers, physicians, educators, clergy, hospital clowns, and many others who incorporate humor in their life and work. AATH was created to disseminate information about humor and laughter, laughter play and well-being, provide a caring, supportive community of humor professionals and enthusiasts. Check out our AATH at www.aath.org today.
Have you ever met someone who was unforgettable? Someone who has touched your heart and soul? People who have faced difficult problems? People who have fearlessly shared their stories, their struggles, and their successes? People who have priceless personalities? In my new book, Priceless Personalities, Success Stories Shared by January Jones, I am honored to be able to share with you people dealing with problems such as incest, molestation, child abuse, drug abuse, polygamy, unemployment, scandal, starting over, self-esteem, and workplace issues. My guests have all been exciting, eclectic, and energizing. They will amaze, amuse, and even astonish you. You will adore getting to meet them at Amazon.com. My book is now available, 2-for-1, paperback and Kindle editions. I'm also pleased to share with you that Priceless Personalities is available now at audiblebooks.com. And today I have a priceless personality who is based in California visiting with us, and he has created a brand new item, Did You Feed the Dog? You know, as pet parents, it's our responsibility to make sure that our pets are cared for properly with the right food, comfortable sleeping place, and lots of love. And of course, feeding our pets is one of the most important tasks we tend to each morning and evening. But sometimes, and I know it happens a lot at our home, more than two people, my husband and I, we just can't remember who fed the dog. And I love this part. If you ask the dogs, guess what? They'll lie, because our dog can eat anywhere, anytime. So this is where the brilliance of this product, Did You Feed the Dog, comes into play. It is a device that is simple to use and acts as a reminder to everyone in the household whether your dog has been fed or not. It's built with high ABS plastic and stylish metal appearance, has each day of the week in the heading AM, PM. You simply move the slider to the right to show you fed the dog that morning or night. This is a no-brainer. What a brilliant invention. Aren't you proud of this product?
I can't believe somebody didn't come up with it first when I was looking for the patent. I thought surely somebody would have it, but you use the word brilliant. I like to think it's more simple. It's about as simple-minded as it gets, which I think is where the appeal lies. I think it took you about 3 seconds to figure it out when you saw it.
Oh, yeah, and you know, now I'm on board because I want one for my morning pills and my nighttime pills. So I think you can just take this and run with it and go into so many other aspects. Now, what's been the public reaction so far? I know it's just new.
The public reaction has been good. We're selling probably about 10 or 15 of them each week through the website, and that's with very minimal marketing effort as we're trying to lure in some distributors and retailers. So we're happy with that level of activity, and then we've gotten a lot of activity and comments on our Facebook pages and LinkedIn pages.
Yeah.
And some of the comments from the public are along the lines of, you know, I was skeptical at first, but gosh darn it, we use this thing every day now. Or they were saying, some people think that it should be an application on their phone, and then after they try it for a while, like they're like, no, this is so simple, don't mess with it. So we're getting a lot of feedback that it's simple and easy to use, and it should stay that way.
I know. I love that KIS, keep it simple, stupid, especially for my generation. Now, share with us, Jim, have you participated in any consumer events to promote your product? What's happening there? Have you taken it to conventions or anything like that?
We did about a week after the first shipment arrived, which was right after the holidays. So we missed Christmas this year, but we received a shipment, and we quickly went down to what's called the Bay Area Pet Expo, which is for consumers with their animals to walk through a convention center down by down in San Jose. And I think there were about 15,000 people coming through there through the course of the 2 days. We sold a bunch of them. And we got a lot of people saying, just what you said. This is so easy. Why didn't someone come up with this earlier? And it's great. It's brilliant. A lot of those words were used. And so it really put some wind in our sails that we think we have something here.
Oh, I think you do too. And I know I'm going to order one, and we're going to put it in Zoe's room. You know, Zoe is the talking dog, and she has quite a following on YouTube because she does speak. She doesn't do interviews. She only speaks on YouTube. So a lot of people try to get her to do interviews, but she has not done that so far. But I may get her to talk about this product. That might be fun. What are your next inventions? What's coming up next for this enterprise?
Well, I think you've named two of the three. I think we're going to try and basically redesign a couple of these. One is, did you give the dog the pill? Because some people just have that problem.
Sure.
And then some people, one of my friends is actually using it. Did he take his medication? So he put a little piece of tape over the word dog, and did you get your pills is what he's asking himself. So I think we've got an application there. Mm-hmm. And then the other one that I had mentioned, did you brush your teeth? So anywhere in the home that if people ask the same question every single day, I think we have an opportunity to fix their problems.
We'll focus
on that for a while.
You totally do, because my daughter, we have seven grandchildren, and I would love to send one of these to each of my grandchildren at Christmas so that they can put it in the bathroom, and when they brush their teeth, they can go to, yes, they did it, and then you don't have your mom asking you all day long, did you brush your teeth? I think there's a lot of potential with this, Jim. I think you're in a very exciting adventure. I love the part that your family is involved with you, your sister and your son. Keep us posted, and I really want to see what happens when you promote this for the holidays this coming year.
I'm keeping my fingers crossed. It should be fun. So I appreciate your support, Jamie.
I think you're going to have a great time with this, and it fulfills a need, and as I said earlier, it keeps it simple. I love that. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm glad Dana got to share you with us, and I hope you come back and report to us what's happening with your wonderful product.
I look forward to it. Thanks, January. I appreciate it.
Okay, it's been fun. To my wonderful listeners, we hope you've enjoyed the show today as much as I've enjoyed sharing Did You Feed the Dog with you. Our upcoming guests are all exciting, eclectic, and energizing, just like Jim. This is the show where you hear inspiring information that will help you to become successful too, and will help your animals to be happy. I would love to welcome you to our No Whining World. Sign on to my website, januaryjones.com, when you can. You know, we really love sharing our stories, our struggles, and especially our super secrets for success. Remember my mantra, if you think it, then you can do it. So for now, friends, stop whining, start smiling, and then start sharing our show with everyone you know. And remember to feed the dog. Thank you to my guest today, Jim Foley. This is January Jones, thanking you for joining me today on my journey, reminding you to take care and stay safe as we close with music by Sarantos.
This is Sarantos, and you're listening to January Jones.
We've got the love we speak, we deserve. In my life I've made so many mistakes. It's all where we lost the way. I lost my faith after all these
Sarantos. I hope you enjoyed January Jones' latest episode.
We want to thank you for listening to January Jones Sharing Success Stories. Always remember Ms. Jones' personal mantra, if you can think it, you can do it. That's what all of our guests have done with their lives, and so can you. you are the ultimate success coach in your own life. All you need to do will be to start sharing your own story with your family and friends. We hope that our guest stories will encourage you to explore an equation in your future that will combine your creativity plus connecting with others will enable you to be successful too. Always remember, your passion plus your purpose will equal prosperity as you explore the wonderful world of January Jones.